Committee of the House and Senate Labor and Commerce Committees will come to order at, I'd like to say 3:15, 3:22. Today is Monday, the 24th of January. House members with us are Representative Miller, Representative Holmes, Representative Sadler, myself, Chair Olson, Representative Seaton, Representative Johnson, and Representative Thompson. And I'd like to welcome the new House members to Labor and Commerce. On the Senate side, we have Chair Senator Egan. We've got Senator Menard. Or do we?
Yep.
Senator Geisel and Senator Davis. Did I miss anybody? I'll let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. I'll be chairing the meeting today, and Senator Egan will be our chair on Wednesday's meeting. Today we're going to hear from, Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development, and I believe we have Susan Bell and Curtis Thayer from the department with us. Commissioner, welcome.
Thank you. Take it
Please
away.
State your name and affiliation for the record.
Susan Bell, Commissioner for the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. In addition to Deputy Commissioner Curtis Thayer, there's a couple other department representatives with me. Executive Director Ray Riuta from ASME, Joellen Hanrahan, our Director of Administrative Services, and Don Haberger, Director of Corporation Business and Professional Licensing Division. So they'll throw balls of paper at me if I misrepresent. But again, it's a pleasure to be here. I've had a chance to visit with some of you individually, and I look forward to continuing the introductory meetings for those that I haven't met yet. Chair Olson, Senator Egan said that he encouraged me to be brief. I will not race through the presentation. But I do. I did think that as I gave an overview, I, of course, recognizing it's Labor and Commerce, wanted to emphasize in particular some of our activities on our economic development side. But I did think that if we did an overview, I would have a chance to hear where your questions and interests lie. So I'll move through this fairly quickly. First, the department's mission is to promote a healthy economy, strong communities, and protect consumers in Alaska. And we do that through a number of programs. And just wanted to. We break them into four priority areas. One of them is a sustainable economy. A number of our division activities, including the Division of Economic Development, ASME, Aerospace, and ADA, are organized under our economic development activities. Our sustainable energy programs are implemented through the Alaska Energy Authority. Our regulatory divisions, where we do consumer protection and regulatory activities, are in four specific divisions: Division of Banking and Securities, Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, Division of Insurance, and Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And then assisting communities through local self-government and fostering voluntarism is for Division of Community and Regional Affairs and Serve Alaska. So again, I'll be talking about how we're organized and some of the specific accomplishments and activities within these activities within the department. But those are our four priority areas. On the next slide, we identify the six core agencies. And again, I just identified them. Of course, the commissioner's office is part of the department as well. We have seven corporate agencies. And the point that I want to make, again, I just briefly listed them, is that our interaction with these different corporate agencies varies considerably. In some instances, we serve on the board. In some instances, we provide administrative services for the corporate agency. And in others, they're much more independent. So the point I just wanted to make in looking at the seven corporate agencies is that our engagement varies considerably. On page 5, you can see a departmental org chart where, again, with the dotted lines, we're kind of amplifying what I was just commenting about, that varying degrees of engagement and administrative authority. You can see the corporate agencies to the left and the right of the organization, and then our core agencies on the bottom of the diagram. So, again, just illustrating that they're together, there's a considerable breadth in the department, and our daily activities, we interact with a wide array of businesses, communities, nonprofits, and individual consumers throughout the state. Turning to page 6, there's a map of the state of Alaska. It's a map we borrowed from Community and Regional Affairs, and part of what we wanted to do is show you where our 538 employees are located. The stars indicate where we've got, at a minimum, a Community and Regional Affairs office, and we also have a number of our other division activities there. What this map does not reflect is that we do have seasonal employees in the APLIC Center in Tok, the Public Lands Information Center, and a couple of full-time positions there. In Kodiak, of course, down in South Central Alaska, is our Alaska Aerospace Operations, and then ASME. If there was a dotted line that connected down to the Bellevue office, you would see ASME there. But again, we just wanted to bring the graphic in showing the breadth of where we have our staff, and Kotzebue, Nome, Bethel, and Dillingham, the staff that we have located out in our field offices there are Community and Regional Affairs.
Well, Commissioner Bell, I'd like to acknowledge that we've been joined by Representative Heron, and we've got an open seat. Representative, if you care to join us at the table.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to talk then just a little more about what the activities are and some of the accomplishments of each of our corporate and core entities. I'll begin with banking and securities. Banking and securities has 24 employees located in Anchorage and Juneau. They have about a $3.5 million budget, and their purpose is to register and license banks. They also charter state chartered banks. They also have a number of programs in consumer education. They're also responsible for when the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act corporations, ANCSA corporations, do their proxy filings. They're also filed with our with banking and securities. So, again, an array of engagement with both banks, mortgage lenders, security, folks engaged in securities in ANCSA corporations. They collected a little over $11 million in fees in the last year. They conducted 38 examinations of depository and non-depository institutions. One of the things that's been growing is money transmitter licenses. They issued 38 money transmitter licenses and 205 new mortgage licenses. And again, from a consumer protection aspect, we've been partnering with other states in settling Alaska share of global settlements and investment firms, and we're finalizing the written agreements with each firm. We also, I made a point of noting the state chartered banks. Banks that are not state chartered, we partner with FDIC, not FDIC, we partner with the federal government to examine the financial strength of other banks as well. So again, banking and securities, briefly touching on their activities. Community and Regional Affairs is our largest division within the corporation at approximately 80 employees, a budget of $10.8 million. Community and Regional Affairs is approximately 60 employees with $10.8 million. We have extensive day-to-day contact with municipalities, nonprofits, and tribal entities in this division. Some of our core programs are local government assistance. We're providing a wide array of technical expertise from day-to-day things like accounting, elections, understanding municipal and state statutes, just helping ensure the daily functionality of small governments throughout the state. We also have a program that some of you are probably very familiar with, the Rural Utility Business Advisory Program. In 167 communities throughout the state, we're focused on ensuring the sustainability of water and wastewater programs. We have local boundary commission, state assessor, folks working on land management assistance, and we publish a number of reports and information about communities in the community database, Lean Watch, and a number of other publications. So again, we're engaged with municipalities of all sizes. There's a particular focus on ensuring the sustainability of communities that are 2,500 or less. We've been administer a number of grants in our department, and I just wanted to note that particularly with a very healthy size of the capital budget last year, with a dollar volume of $1.2 billion in grants that we administered. That more than doubled the dollar volume and the transaction volume of the number of grants that were going through our division out to the state. And we're in the process of still working with some entities on finalizing that. But again, beginning with the new fiscal year, we're actively engaged in working on the grant agreements and the processes to administer those. I also wanted to point out the $34 million that is distributed through the Division of Community and Regional Affairs through federal programs, including payment in lieu of taxes, PILT, National Forest Receipts, Fisheries Business Tax, and the Fisheries Landing Tax programs. We're also engaged with on the bulk fuel bridge loan program. Communities that are not eligible through AEA for bulk fuel loan can get are assured to get a bridge loan through our division. And part of our goal as we do that, you can see we noted that we worked with 21 different communities last year. Part of our goal in doing that is helping them then find that a method of sustainability and repaying the loan so they can get back into the more traditional loan program. So again, I just wanted to note that that is our goal with many of our programs in community and regional affairs is to really think about the sustainability. So again, moving to page 8, corporations, business, and professional licensing. As I mentioned, we have Don Haberger, division director, in the room today. This division is engaged in providing business licenses, which is one of our most streamlined activities. People can do their business licensing online. It's one of our more simple functions. Corporate filings are handled through this department, and this is one of the significant accomplishments I wanted to point out. As we came into this time last year, I credit Curtis Thayer and our prior division staff for really thinking about how we could overcome a backlog. There was up to a 14-week delay when businesses were poised and ready to engage in business and were waiting for our division staff to be able to process their paperwork. So again, I just want to acknowledge that we're down to a 2-week or less wait time in corporate filings. We've also been looking for where, through this division, we can increase our use of technology for online filings and online transactions in all of our activities. With our professional licensing section, there are 40 different professional licenses, or 40 different groups that we license. 20 of them have boards that assist in the development of the regulations and administering it, and 20 of them are done by the division staff alone. So I had noted with some of the other divisions and the regulatory entities what we collected in fees. This division collects nearly $14 million in fees. And we handle a considerable number of complaints through our occupational licensing and other activities. As you can see in the handout, 701 complaints were reviewed, resulting in 556 new cases and 397 disciplinary actions. That might be something like a fine. It might be remedial education. It might be auditing or monitoring of a business activities. But again, our goal is to try to get the business functioning in a way that consumers and the public are protected. So that's corporation, business, and professional licensing. Take a little bit longer to talk about the Division of Economic Development. We have economic development staff located in Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. I also mentioned our activity with the APLIC, the Public Lands Information Center in Tok. That is administered through Division of Economic Development. We have a nearly $9 million budget for this division. And we've been, a fairly recent change was the merger of the Division of Investments and the Office of Economic Development. Our goal in doing that was to really provide a framework for where we could better serve the business community, whether it's existing businesses or prospective businesses throughout the state, and then also kind of realign our functions. Last year, as I became engaged in my role in the governor's office as a special assistant for this department and concurrent with the time that Deputy Commissioner Thayer had taken his role, we were aware of a lot of concern and discussion about the state's economic development functions. And part of why I mentioned that is that some of the things that people were noting was our a fragmentation of our programs, not only within the department but within the state of Alaska, a focus on a handful of important but only a handful of the industry sectors that we have in our state, such as minerals, seafood, forest products, tourism, and the film office. So this fragmentation and kind of a narrowly defined focus were some of the concerns that that were being talked about a year ago. As we looked at that, we felt that bringing these two divisions that shared an economic development focus together gave us the ability to, particularly with our existing financing staff, be able to interact more with the business community throughout the state. I'm going to talk about the financing component briefly first. The majority of our financing staff, we have a dozen different loan programs that are targeted small businesses, unlike ADA, which is more of a commercial development finance arm. Our financing staff is largely located here in Juneau. We have a small number in Anchorage. Our portfolio is heavily, primarily composed of commercial fishing programs. Again, they're very valuable, and we have a number of commercial fishing entities that are engaged in being able to acquire their boat, their quota, repower their engine. We also have a number of underutilized loan programs, including Capstone Aviation, the RDIF, Rural Development Investment Fund, SBED, which is Small Business Economic Development Program, where the activity that isn't meeting our goals. So with offices in Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, we feel that we're able to better share information about our financing programs and also get ideas and feedback to our financing programs, to our loan officers, and as a policy standpoint, be able to take advantage of this industry expertise. Today, some of you may have noticed that the governor had introduced a bill, several bills, but one of them provided financing for several components: a microloan revolving fund, Americulture revolving loan fund, and the commercial charter fisheries revolving loan fund. And I know through the course of this session, we'll have an opportunity to discuss those programs and their merits and your ideas about them more fully. But I mention that because, in particular, the ideas for that came from the business community. And I feel like from a financing standpoint, we do, I think we're poised to interact with the business community statewide in a better position. I also think that this positions us to think about our other economic development activities of marketing, of research in different industry sectors, of business and technical assistance, and our outreach and coordination with other departments. It gives us the ability to leverage our staff and be more effective. So again, it was a recent change. We're still working through some position changes. We're working through some program development, but as we move ahead, I think that this gives us a better ability to be more robust and more effective in our economic development. So I wanted to just talk a little bit about the merger and the rationale behind it, and then talk about some of the activities within the division. Again, our financing area, I think, is one of our strongest sectors. We noted that we made 268 loans in the last year, totaling more than $20 million from some of our loan programs. Again, in terms of business outreach, we've been acknowledged and appreciated in this by a number of entities, state chambers, business leaders, for being much more engaged than I think the department had been in recent years in terms of our engagement with the private sector and economic development organizations. And I anticipate only strengthening in that area. One of our focuses is really thinking about, from a business retention and expansion program, we anticipate implementing that in the coming year. I used one example in a recent speech that had to do with pilots that were being released in Anchorage, and there was much hue and cry and hand-wringing blaming the organization for their changes in administrative structure and what that was doing to the Alaska economy within our division, within our department. We were thinking that that was looking at it backwards. We should know in advance. We should be saying, what can we do as a state? Are there facilities? Are there financing? Is there coordination? How can we serve you better? So that's one small example, but again, thinking more systematically about how we retain our businesses and how we attract businesses will be a focus area. There's been a lot of emphasis on the film program. We have set up, of course, by the legislature, a tax credit program. 29 film productions have been pre-qualified for tax credits. 4 productions have completed the process and have been approved for nearly $250,000 in tax credits. And the tax credit program, I think that the combination of we've increased awareness about the credit, we've increased our capabilities as a state, as we just had the feature film Everybody Loves Whales and a couple of other productions, that we're really gaining momentum. And we're thinking as a department about how we can be as effective as possible working with the resources that we have, staff resources, financial resources, and partners. Again, this is an area where our outreach to communities, our outreach to the private sector, it has been significant. So we're looking forward to just making this something a more robust industry, and ultimately returning greater economic depth and greater economic value from that tax credit program. So again, I didn't highlight all of the industries there, but it's something that's been foremost in people's mind with the recent feature films. We do have programs that have marketing components, have research components in minerals, seafood, forestry, and tourism. While I'm noting tourism, we just wanted to mention our engagement last year in several different ways. We were working with the visitor industry from an Alaska business side. We were also working with cruise lines and tour operators, understanding their concerns about the state. We were producing our economic impact study and our periodic Alaska Visitor Statistic Program statistics. All of these things together gave us the information that we needed to help advise the governor, the legislature, and the industry, and help support the reductions in the cruise passenger head tax and the increased marketing. So again, it was a combination of market research, outreach, and policy advice. And so we're looking for how we can replicate that kind of interaction and engagement in other industries as well. So we'll turn and touch on our last division from our core agencies, and that's Division of Insurance, with a budget of about a little over $7 million. Division of Insurance is charged with licensing insurance providers, ensuring the financial solvency and compliance of insurance providers, and also a consumer education and protection element in the division. Our director, Linda Hall, and her staff take their charge very, very seriously, and noted, it's our last point in the PowerPoint here, that the criminal investigations last year resulted in 7 criminal convictions, 2 of which resulted in jail sentences, and 2 of which were jail time. And again, our department as a whole engages with a lot of different business activities, but when you think about what as an individual or as a business or as an entity, if you believed you had financially solvent and credible insurance and had been paying your premiums and then didn't and found that they were not what you thought it were, it can ruin your family, it can ruin your business, it can ruin a community. So again, this is an entity that a lot of legislators are familiar with, our director and our staff. They do collect premium taxes, penalties, and fees for their services. We noted that it's a little over $60 million. They work with increasingly complex insurance programs and policies that are available to the public. And one of the things I just wanted to note from a regulatory standpoint and from a from an investigative standpoint, it is increasingly time-consuming to monitor what's going on in the market, but they're very rigorous about their activities. And again, that consumer education and protection element is an area where last year, with a little over 300 consumer complaints, they were able to return over 230,000 to Alaska consumers. They called with questions or concerns about how something was handled, and were an advocate for them. The other thing that we've recognized as a value of the consumer protection component is that as we start to hear some flare-ups about a certain area or a certain business, that triggers, you know, for our investigative folks that there could be a problem there. So the consumer protection and the fraud investigation certainly work hand in hand. So that was a quick highlight of some of the activities and some of the accomplishments in our core agencies. I do want to take a moment to walk through the activities of our corporate entities, and I fully recognize that some of these folks will be in to talk with you directly, so I'll keep my comments a little more succinct on these. Alaska Aerospace Corporation, in November, they recently had a launch in Kodiak. It was a beautiful day. I don't know how many of you had a chance to be there personally. It was a gorgeous day, and we got lots of publicity, there's another launch plan for May 2011. I've had a chance to tour that facility twice in the course of this last year, and what's been amazing is to be on site with folks from Space Florida, on site with folks from the Pentagon, who really understand what a tremendous resource we have here in Alaska. The aerospace management is working actively to bring additional launch customers to Alaska. Before I move on from them, one of the things that you may have noticed is the governor introduced an executive order to move aerospace from the Department of Commerce into the Department of Veterans and Military Affairs. We recognize right now there's a considerable economic impact in terms of job creation and business benefits. Our department supports this activity because whether we're serving military or commercial clients or a combination of both, if this organization grows, Kodiak, South Central, and all of Alaska will benefit greatly. So we're supportive of this move because we think it will help with their financial sustainability and, again, just grow the private sector benefits. So I did want to mention that in case there were questions in your mind about aerospace. Alaska Energy Authority completed a very significant document this last year, the Alaska Energy Pathway, and I know they're preparing for a report to the legislature in the coming weeks. Some of their programs include rural power system upgrades, rural bulk fuel facilities. The Renewable Energy Fund is something that I know a lot of people have interest in. The grants, to date, total $150 million. There's been 133 projects. They have a number of other programs within the authority as well, looking at energy efficiency for commercial facilities and other programs. But I did also want to mention we're in the process of an executive director search for AEA. Steve Hagenson had retired resigned this last fall. And as one of the board members engaged in the search, I've just been very pleased. We had a very robust response. We're in the process of we've finalized the shortlist, and we'll be commencing interviews within the next week to 2 weeks as we can get schedules aligned. So I'm anticipating that you'll have a chance to meet the new executive director in the very near future. So stay tuned on Alaska Energy Authority. ADA, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, is engaged in commercial development finance with projects that we own directly, projects that we participate in loan participation. And this organization, I give a lot of credit to for last year through the completion of their strategic plan, as well as the education of the staff and board. They've been looking at how they can be incredibly or increasingly flexible and responsive by bringing some new financing tools into Alaska that we didn't have before. A bill that was just introduced includes a proposal for new market tax credits, but even some of the things that were passed in this last year where they can be a partial owner Again, they've, I think, getting increasingly creative on how we can do things to stimulate economic development in our state. Our revolving loan fund assets increased by $337 million. The total funds are just under $400 million. I also wanted to note that this organization provides a dividend to the state. The dividend approved by the board for this year was a little over $29 million, and it brings the total dividends paid to the state by this organization to over $304 million since inception. So, an asset for the businesses and earning power for the state. Again, I want to recognize my colleagues from ASME are in the room, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. It was, for those of you familiar with seafood, commercial fishermen or seafood producers in your as constituents, you may realize that they in many ways had a banner year in this last year. Seafood export value increased nearly 23% up to $2.19 billion. Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is aggressively working both in the U.S. market and the international market on their programs, which include helping food service programs and retailers understand how best to utilize the asset that we have in Alaska Seafood. We noted one accomplishment. They have many, but there was a pavilion at the European Seafood Exposition. On-site sales by the participants in that totaled nearly $50 million, and then there were follow-on sales that are projected to reach $500 million from that activity. So again, ASME partners with other entities. Of course, they're working with working with commercial fishermen in some instances as they're showcasing not only the product but the people of our state. We also partner with the Alaska Travel Industry Association on consumer and media programs as well. So again, I know you'll have a chance to talk with them directly, but a very vibrant organization and part of our department. Regulatory Commission of Alaska, I was talking earlier about our varying level of engagement. Administratively, we work closely with RCA, but this is one where the commissioners, as Commissioner of Commerce, I don't automatically sit on the RCA. Of course, the commissioners are appointed. I just wanted to recognize something that that often these kinds of things aren't noted, but virtually 100%, 99.95% of the tariff filings made in 2010 were reviewed and processed within regulatory timelines. So that's one of the areas when we think about, well, we've got these regulatory entities, how are we interacting with, you know, so timeliness, I wanted to note that. Nearly 92% of eligible utilities were in compliance at the end of fiscal year 2010. They have a considerable volume of dockets, and I just, again, 100% of the final orders in their dockets were reviewed by an assistant attorney general, and 100% of the final decisions were issued on or before the statutory deadline. And they have 598 active certificates and regulate a broad range of wastewater, electric, natural gas, telecommunications, and pipelines. So RCA, again, administratively work with them, but don't serve as a commissioner, but are you know, it's a key piece of that consumer protection element that we have in regulatory aspect of our department. And then finally, Serve Alaska, a very small division or a very small corporate agency. We have four employees, but our budget for that is about $3.5 million, largely in federal grants that are coming through the state because of our partnering with a wide array of institutions throughout the state. And Serve Alaska through the AmeriCorps Vista program helps provide volunteers, volunteer service for educational, public safety, health, and environmental priorities. So again, small staff, just four folks, but they have a lot of contacts throughout the state. So as I wrap up and look forward to your questions. Just wanted to point out information was on the subsequent slides. Our total department budget request for FY12 is $204 million. That is a reduction of about 4% over last year. We were $213 million. And on page 13, you can see how that component, or how it breaks down by line item. Personal services, about $55 million. Travel, $2.5 million. Services, commodity, capital outlay, and grants. Of course, I was mentioning a significantly higher grant volume that was through our capital budget as well. So again, this is our operating budget break overview. On page 14, you can see the budget broken by funding source. And again, that total column, you can see what I was just highlighting, $213 million for last year compared to $204 million for this year. And across the bottom, the general fund, undesignated and designated federal funds and other funds. So just closing and looking to any questions that you might ask, I think that, again, I had emphasized the breadth of our department, working from, you know, we say from rural to rockets. We're also, again, working with municipalities of all sizes. We work with businesses of all sizes. We interact with a lot of consumers. And I think that we're poised, I think, as we move forward to do several things. Be increasingly effective in our economic development programs, continue the strength in our regulatory consumer protection and local government assistance programs. And I think also looking ahead to increasing use of online of technology, not only online programs, but just think that we're poised to be increasingly effective in the future. Look forward to any questions that I can answer.
I think Representative Holmes has been extremely patient, as has Senator Menard. Representative Holmes, followed by Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner. That was a very helpful overview. And I'm actually really happy because the two areas that I've been most interested in for the last year or two are two of the areas you talked about pretty extensively. One of them has to do with the corporations section, and the other is the economic development piece. And I've been heartened not only from what I heard from you today, but what I've heard from other people in the administration who tell me that my concerns in those two areas are being taken very seriously. I want to commend you on the strides you've made on getting the corporate filings and registrations sped up. I've been hearing a lot of frustration over the last few years from the business community trying to get things filed. When you're doing a major deal, the New York bankers don't understand that they can't get certified copies of all the documents dated as of the day of the closing. It's one example. And it used to be we could expedite them in this state, and then everybody started expediting, and so then they took away the option to expedite because it couldn't meet the deadline. You've got some great staff in there. When I've called and talked to them, they've been very helpful. But they've been swamped. And so I'm really, I would encourage you to feel free to talk to me at any time about this. This is an area I'm very interested in, and I want to commend you and encourage you to keep working in that area because that's really important for business in the state. And the other piece, of course, is the economic development piece that I know is another big priority for you, and I'm happy to hear that because we need to have the flexibility to attract. Like you said, it's real easy to focus on the 800-pound gorilla, the oil and gas mining fisheries, but we have other businesses and industries in the state who want to do business, and I'm really glad to know that you guys are going to be focusing on bringing them in, sustaining them, helping them create jobs. So anything I can do to help, let me know. Thank you.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nice presentation and overview. I'm proud to call you Deputy Commissioner. You have decided to pull back on one of the deputies. Would you just explain that to us a minute, and then I want to ask you a question on the Alaska Aerospace.
Okay. Through the chair, thank you for the opportunity to discuss that. We have a fairly small, mid-sized division at, again, 538 employees. That doesn't include the railroad, but our 538 employees in the divisions that I described. And we also had the recent merger, as I described, with Division of Investments and Economic Development. And I'm I'm comfortable with my engagement and location here in Juneau. Deputy Commissioner Thayer, who's been in the department now just over a year, he's very hands-on, very engaged. When he came in, he was asked to work directly with five divisions. Now with a merger, he and I feel like we communicate regularly with our directors, with our particularly our Director of Admin Services, and that well, we are tasked with serving on a number of sub-cabinets and commissions, and we have to stretch, I think, a little bit in that it's very functional, and part of it I think is a reflection of the size of our department, but also our engagement and our physical locations in Anchorage and Juneau. So at this time, what we did was recently reclassify the second deputy commissioner position to a special assistant. And I think having someone in Anchorage, we also have a special assistant based here in Juneau, but a special assistant that's very project oriented and able to move things through and communicate efficiently at a little lower cost is working well for the department.
Just to follow up, thank you. I think that's important information. And thank you for fielding that question for the full committee to understand. The other thing on the Alaska Aerospace Agency, and I'm sorry, you went fast there, so if you are in support of moving it out of Commerce into military, I think that's what I heard you say. Could you?
But again, for the chair, our focus is the sustainability of that organization. We've invested considerably as a state in not only the physical plant in Kodiak, but awareness of what we have to offer. We have unique, I've learned some things through the course of this last year, we have unique orbits, we have some unique things that we can bring when people are looking at other alternatives in this country. So as we've looked at this and discussed it internally within our department, discussed it with Veterans and Military Affairs, as well as with the governor's office, we think that alignment with Veterans and Military Affairs gives them the ability to have access to not only launch clients, but some key contacts that might enhance their chance to get sustainable funding. It isn't that they will no longer serve any commercial clients. I know that, you know, that there are things like satellite launches and other commercial activity that we are well suited. So they're going to continue to pursue both a government and a private clientele, but I think being located within a more military organization will help them with their particularly federal, looking for federal launches, federal access. And also back to one of the points I mentioned briefly, I've seen reports by Northern Economics, by McDowell Group and others looking at the what the economic benefits of the organization is as it is now. We want to perpetuate that. There's a lot of business impacts, employment impacts, secondary impacts, economic impacts, and we want to be sure that they have the doors open for that to not only sustain but to grow. So we are in support of that. And have been will continue to be sure that people realize we're comfortable and want to see the organization thrive.
So does Florida mirror that same? Is that how the state of Florida handle?
And through the chair, Florida and Brandenburg in California are both federal government. They're military entities. So we are unique in that this is a state asset. So part of what I've heard from client, I've been on the facility when we've had some of the folks that were preparing for that November launch on site and complimenting them for their customer service, for their responsiveness. And so it's a state entity. We are different from the others. But again, I think that alignment with in a military framework in DMVA, it will put them in communication circles that are different from ours.
Thank you for clarification.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the aerospace, I guess I'm curious because my understanding was there was about a request for $40 million over 3 years for operational subsidies. And the transferring of that, does that come out of this existing budget, or is that on a future budget. I'm trying to figure out when and where the pieces go together on that, and if those numbers are approximately correct.
Again, through the chair, thanks for giving me a chance to clarify that. They're reflected in our FY12 budget, and at this point, I'm understanding that it would be, you know, from a state perspective, it would be a net zero in terms of costs to the department. You know, it would move it from Department of Commerce to Department of Veterans and Military Affairs. So I think actually it will be good for us to. I'll work with our administrative services director on how we characterize that, because one, it's I'll need some technical advice on that. You also had mentioned, if I may, the $40 million, and what was put into the FY12 budget was $4 million, and so part of what Aerospace has helped educate me and the governor's office and others is that when you're looking for launches of this magnitude, and is that they wanted the state of Alaska to be able to signal that, you know, some continuity, that it, that if somebody was going to commit to something, these are launches that take, you know, they can take years to plan. So in requesting that $40 million, it was to be able to communicate primarily to the marketplace that our lights are going to be on, the doors are going to be open, we still have the facility, because there's a very long lead time. What's in the budget, though, was $4 million.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Bell, actually, I was one of the people that did go to the launch in Kodiak. It was a gorgeous day. It's always pretty in Kodiak, they told me. Just a little question. Is it the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation or the Alaska Aerospace Corporation? And is that part of the shift? Is there a name change in the EO?
Through the chair, last year, I think it was the timing, the word development had been changed. So it had gone from AADC to AAC, just recognizing that the facility was established, we were available. We were serving clientele, so the development component had already been dropped. So Alaska Aerospace Corporation, and that's not associated with the departmental and administrative move.
The second question, different topic. You made some reference to the new financing tools that you hope the ADA is looking for. Could you describe those more in detail, and are they aimed at any particular kind of development function? To what end do they change those tools?
Through the chair, one of the components is something that new market tax credit, and I'm not as conversant as ADA, and so I will share some information that I have. This is the new market tax credit is a development tool that allows an entity to make an investment in a economically disadvantaged area that's determined by census data and maybe other indicators, but it's able to helping attract investments in economically disadvantaged areas, and there is a 7-year window, but there's a time period where you're paying only interest. It allows the investment to get some legs underneath of it before they're making more traditional loan payments. So again, there's more technical aspects to it, but it's a program we have available in our state right now through Alaska Growth Capital and through others, but it's an allocation issued by the federal government. So if this would pass, then ADA would be eligible to get some of this allocation, and because it's part of their Alaska economic development mission, would then be looking at how they could use that as a tool when people are coming to have ADA participate in loans or to own a portion or all of an economic development investment. So, and that's the second piece I just wanted to briefly touch on, which is last year part of the legislation that passed allowed them to become a partial owner, and some of what's being clarified this year is specifically making the lawyers happy in making sure that they have the authority to participate in a limited liability corporation. So again, just being a little more exacting in the language. So those are a couple of components that again would just add to their portfolio or add to their what they can do to engage with the private sector.
Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, wonderful report on a very important department. economic development we're all concerned about. I wanted to ask you a specific question. One of your objectives is to protect the consumer. Healthcare, of course, is a growing field of economic development and requires consumer protection. There is a federally mandated program under the Board of Nursing, and surprisingly, it's also adequately federally funded, which provides for oversight of certified nurse aid programs. It's been a challenge for the Board of Nursing to staff that position, and I wondered if you knew what the status was and how that's progressing.
Through the chair, may I call in a lifeline? I'm looking to see if we need to get back to you specifically on the sure, and the committees fine. On that question, or if my colleagues can assist in answering it right now.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Don Habiger, Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. Yes, I do know a bit about what's going on there. In 2002, there was a position in the budget called a Nurse Coordinator 1. It was scheduled to take care of that, or it had been taking care of that program, but at that time, for reasons I have not yet figured out, it was scrubbed out of the budget. So the federal appropriation, the $100,000 that we get from Health and Social Services, has been used to keep that program alive, but through a different position. It pays for right now an examiner, a licensing examiner in the nurse aid program. I know since I spoke to the board just last week, they still want to go back to the previous program. We're looking for ways to do so, but we haven't found solutions yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I guess we'll save mine for last. I've got basically a two-part question. I've got some concerns about the staffing of two of your components. First would be the Division of Insurance. Within the past 12 months, Linda Hull has picked up responsibility for Obamacare and also other federal mandates. That would be the largest, but the second one would be SlimPAC, new one that's, I think she has about 4 months to work her way through. Do you foresee the division having any problem getting adequate staffing for the new mandates that they're getting from the federal government?
I appreciate you recognizing the engagement the director and her key staff have had, and particularly as we've looked at federal health care, there's been a team approach. She's been a key piece working with Health and Social Services and with the governor's office and others, understanding the implications for our state. It's been a special project on top, for now a full year. Just they've been rigorously looking at the programs, the deadlines, the implications, and I know that she personally, in part of her national connections, utilizes that, what we're learning from other states as well. Well, it's important for us to recognize that we support the governor's budget, but have to be candid about where we are constrained. One thing I touched on briefly, and I know you have technical expertise in this industry that I fully appreciate the complexity. Even without these, the insurance industry is increasingly complex, and it's stressing it's stressing the staff to really fully to be sure that they are in protecting the consumers in the way that they are. So I think that it's important we can follow up on that, and I can give Linda an opportunity to help educate me a little more specifically. But certainly it's a department that's working around the clock.
I might add that I probably ought to declare a conflict of interest. I work rather closely with Director Hall, but this is not one topic that we've had the opportunity or the time to talk about yet this year, but second one would be the RCA, and I have some concerns that they're not getting federal mandates, but they're getting new things given to them, like you know, gas storage and all the timeliness of timely.
Third time's a charm.
How fast we're approving gas contracts. Okay, how's that? It's my understanding that we've lost a lot of key people, and I don't know if it's stress or possibly salary range or what the reasons are, but for the RCA to be effective during the next couple of years when we really need them, particularly if we end up with a small diameter line and then have the whole issue of whether or not we're going to have gas coming in, gas going out, gas available next winter, we're going to need to have them fully staffed with competent people. Is that something that somebody is looking at, possibly?
Again, I appreciate the positive way that you characterize that, Chairman. And and often it's easy to, you know, it's easy to look at state government and think about, you know, where can we cut, where can we be more efficient. And I appreciate in both of these instances you recognize the importance of the work that each of these entities does. Like Division Director Linda Hall, Chairman Pickett is very, very dedicated. We are working with Department of Administration and the Governor's Office, because I think that it's worth a relook at some decisions that were made in a recent classification study to ensure that he has the resources and the classification to attract people. It's a very demanding job. So we're working within the administration, and again, as that progresses, we can keep you posted on it. And you know, it is, as you said, we're adding increasing responsibilities because of the the nature of gas storage, but also the urgency of the situation. So I think as our conversations back to the staffing levels progress, I'd be happy to follow up and make sure that you're in the loop on that.
And as respects to the Division of Insurance, they appear to be cash cow for no other appropriate name, but they're bringing in, what, nine times what their budget is? $7 million, and they're bringing in $64 million?
Correct.
So there should be some bucks there for additional people if we need them.
Noted.
Now you know why I'm not on finance. There any further questions for Mr. Bell? Again, thank you for joining us and bringing a portion of your staff with you. And with that, we will adjourn. And I believe on Thursday we're going to have Department of Labor, and we're adjourned at 4:20.